Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. As the saying goes, well begun is half done. It's important to make a good beginning at whatever you do, to put in the time necessary to plan a project, to plan it right, to think it through from start to finish, and then to start in the right direction. Once you've done all of that, you're already half done with whatever you're going to do. Well begun is half done, but you're still not done. Imagine a runner. Now, some people actually like to do that kind of thing, I guess. A runner who is preparing for a race. He registers for the race. He maps it out. He knows where he's going to be running. He eats well. He sleeps well. He trains well for the race. He begins it on the day of the race and starts running. And then partway into the race, he sees something he doesn't like along the course. And so he drops out. Well begun is half done, but it's meaningless if you fail to finish. Now the Israelites, as you heard in the gospel or in the epistle today to the Corinthians, began well. They were all in the cloud and in the sea with Moses, the Red Sea. They had celebrated the Passover and believed God when he told them to put the blood of the Lamb over their doors and that it would keep them safe. They followed Moses out of Egypt and across the Red Sea on dry land. As Paul wrote in the epistle, all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. All ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. And they all had in view the land of Canaan, the promised land, as their goal. But those very Israelites who began so well failed to finish. Faith quickly turned into unbelief. Trust in the promises of God turned into trust in what their eyes could see. Trust in the goodness of God turned into longing to fulfill the cravings of their bellies in the wilderness. Trust in the works of God turned into trust in their own designs, their own devices, their own strength and their own worthiness. And as St. Paul says, with most of them God was not well pleased, for their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. And you remember how that story went, hopefully. Review it, if you don't, in Exodus and Numbers and Deuteronomy. And so Paul issued a warning to the Corinthian Christians using that Israelite example. You began well enough. You heard the gospel when we, the apostles, preached it to you. You repented of your sins. You believed it. You were baptized into Christ. And you have been gathering now as Christians around word and sacrament for some time. But it will all be for nothing if you turn away from grace before the end, if you stop running the race, if you allow your faith to be torn away from God and His Son, Christ Jesus, and placed somewhere else, like in how well you think you've been doing. So too in the gospel. Those who began the day working in the vineyard began well, on good terms with the landowner. They worked long and hard, right up until the end of the day, even the full 12 hours. But they still didn't finish well. And the problem wasn't with their work. The problem was that they quit They didn't quit working, but they quit appreciating the grace of the landowner. They grew to despise his generosity, focusing instead on their hard work and on how unfair it was that others who didn't work as hard as they did should be getting the same wages, should be tied with them in what they got at the end of the day. It ended for those workers with a "take what is yours and go your way" from the landowner. Now let's take a little closer look at the parable and learn this lesson from Jesus. The landowner of the vineyard goes out at the crack of dawn at 6 a.m. to hire workers for the day. He finds some, and they make a contract for the day. They agree on the wages, it says, 1 denarius for 1 day's work. And the workers go on to work in the vineyard. Fine. The landowner goes out again at 9 a.m., at noon, at 3 in the afternoon, and even at 5 o'clock, just 1 hour before quitting time. And for all those people he found standing around, he told them to come and work, and he would give them whatever is right. "Whatever is right, you will receive," he said. At the end of the day, the owner intentionally brings in those who were hired last at 5 o'clock in the afternoon and wants them to be paid first. And so they're each given 1 denarius. He treats them with great generosity, giving them 1 whole day's wage for just 1 hour's worth of work. The ones who worked the 12 hours started to get greedy. They imagined that the contract that they agreed on with the landowner that very morning must have changed without their knowing it. If the 1 hour workers were receiving 1 denarius, which is what they agreed to, then surely the landowner can't possibly still just pay them the 1 denarius. They worked so much harder, they should receive so much more. That's what they thought. But of course, when it came their turn, they also received 1 denarius. Not equal work for equal pay or equal pay for equal work, but the same pay, no matter how much any had worked. Was that fair? The ones who were hired first didn't think so. They complained against the landowner. But he quickly put them in their place. "Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for 1 denarius? Take what's yours and go your way. I wish to give to this last man the same as to you. Is it not lawful for me to do what I wish with my own things? Or is your eye evil because I am good?" Now, all of this was first and foremost a story that Jesus was telling about the Jews, who as a nation had started out trusting in God under his first contract, under the law of Moses, knowing that they deserved nothing from him, but thankful to be included in this covenant. They started out believing in God's goodness and mercy. But then along came John the Baptist preaching, and then came Jesus preaching, and the Jews, who had worked so hard under the law, saw people around them who hadn't worked very hard at keeping the law of Moses. Some were tax collectors, that is, thieves. Some were prostitutes. Some were even Gentiles who had never been part of the people of God up until that time. They saw these people being brought into repentance by the preaching of John and of Jesus. They saw these people being welcomed into the kingdom of God, no matter how long they had worked, no matter what they had done. They saw sinners being told by Jesus, Take heart, son, your sins are forgiven. Just like that, without putting in any of the work that they had put in, receiving the same prize of God's favor and eternal life, which is what he had promised to the Jews all along. The Jews should have rejoiced in God's mercy. They should have loved their fellow man and been glad to be fellow recipients of the generosity of a God who was giving all of them something that none of them deserved. Instead, they became jealous. Not unlike the good son in Jesus' parable of the prodigal son, if you recall. The good son who stayed by his father and worked at his father's house while his bad prodigal brother left to lead a life of luxury and decadence until he lost everything and then came back in repentance to his father's house and was welcomed back by his father. And the good son was angry that his brother should be welcomed back when he had stayed and worked so hard for his father. Now, what's the real problem here? What's going on? Are business owners being encouraged to reward workers who work less hard, to give them equal pay to those who work harder? Well, hardly. If anything, Jesus teaches the divine principle that the owner of the business has the right to make whatever contract he wants with his own workers, to do what he wants with his own money. But of course, the parable isn't addressing business. It's addressing the kingdom of God, where no one deserves God's grace or a place in God's kingdom. But in his goodness and generosity, God brings people into his family by faith in Christ Jesus and gives everyone the same favor, the same forgiveness, the same salvation, the same eternal life. That's the deal he makes with us in holy baptism. That's the deal he makes in the New Testament in his blood, to save them for free, apart from their works, through faith alone in his Son. Repent and believe in him, and then, yes, work. Show love to your neighbor. Keep the commandments. Not to earn God's favor, but because you have been given God's favor. But then what often happens? People begin well, recognizing their own sins, trusting in God's promise of free salvation, thankful for God's grace in Christ Jesus. They continue for a while in faith, producing its fruits, denying themselves, and giving up earthly things to inherit the kingdom of heaven, running the race so as to win the prize, as Paul wrote to the Corinthians. And all is well until, at some point, their sins no longer seem so bad in their own eyes, while the sins of others are easily identified. They focus on what good people they have become and grow indignant when they see bad people being brought to repentance and faith later in life. They somehow think that God now owes them more because they've done more. They've earned more. They've been better Christians. And as soon as they view God that way, they have broken with Christ. They have fallen from grace. Why? Because salvation is either by grace alone or it's by works. And faith is either placed solely in God's grace for the sake of Christ or it's placed elsewhere. No matter how long you've lived in faith, no matter how much of your life you've spent running the race, serving the Lord and your neighbor in love, none of that matters at the end of the day if at the end of the day you have turned away from faith in Christ to rely on your own works, to want God to deal with you based on what you have earned instead of what Christ has earned for you. Now, all of you here have made a good beginning in faith. Some began sooner than others. Some have run the race more intentionally in a more disciplined way than others. All of that is now irrelevant. What matters is how you continue in the race from this point on, in daily contrition and repentance, with faith in God's goodness for the sake of Christ crucified, hearing God's word, feeding on God's sacrament, with love, with prayer, with zeal for Christ's kingdom, but always with grace in view, so that at the end of the day, you're ready to stand before God to receive not the wages you think you've earned, but only the gift of eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Please stand. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.